The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 18, verse from 5 to 8. Chapter 18, verse from 5 through 8. Allow me to read. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. Amen. Life is what does not stop in any form. Life keeps moving. Young kids cannot sit still because their life is that much active. As life does not stop, death, on the contrary, is what stops. When our heart, which has never been rested, stops beating, it means death. When the heart stops, a hand gently touching a beloved person, feet that went wherever you may go, an activity of brain to understand things and make a decision, and all other movement inside and outside the body stops forever. Even though a life of a person stops, the world does not. However, for a person whose life stops, the world stops together. For a person whose life stops, the relationship and communication with the moving world also stops at the same time. Even if a life, movements do not all the same each other. The more poisonous a snake or mosquito is, the more dangerous to people. As such, for some, the more active a movement of life is, the more dangerous to others. In comparison, there are those who encourage others more as they are more active. A life of Christians should, of course, be the latter. God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The man was created as a life with the breath of God's life from the very beginning. The Lord let him live in Eden with trees, animals, and birds that God created and allowed to live with the man. So to speak, Eden was a source and cradle of life. However, the Lord does not let the life stay only in Eden. When the life stops and stays, it is no more a life but death. Therefore, a river flowed from Eden. It was not one river. God let the river separate it into four headwaters, into the north, south, east, and west. In Eden, were the first man whom God first created, beautiful plants, every animal and bird. And it was very beautiful for the Lord to see. Even so, would the life have been sustained if there was no river there? Therefore, the four rivers that were originated from Eden were those of life. The name of the first is Pishon, meaning to spread. The name of the second river is the Gion, which means to belch. While the third river, named Hiddekel, is called Tigris today, but does not have its origin revealed. The last river is Euphrates, which means to gush. If looking at the meaning of the three rivers, we can see the rivers flowed from Eden's bread, belch, and gush life. So the rivers were those of robust life. The Lord let those four rivers keep alive and flow toward the north, east, south, and west. It was for his life to sip across the world. Since then, all the rivers in the world have fulfilled their mission and responsibility. Stagnant water is bound to rot. As soon as the flow stops, it is dead. We call the river as a lifeline because it does not stop, but is alive and flows day and night. It does not, however, flow upwards. Rivers are always humble and flow downwards. Even if there is an obstacle, the river does not stop nor vainly try to pass through the obstacle. A river detours facing an obstacle and flows downwards. Consequently, thanks to the obstacle, those who are in the opposite side of the obstacle enjoy the benefit of life. It is the mysterious result led by the vibrant life that never stops. It is not a coincidence that a civilization started with a river, regardless of the east and west. The river that keeps flowing is the mysterious life itself. Needless to say, we, having the origin of life in Eden, should also flow this world just like the rivers originated from that Eden. If the life of Apostle Paul is to be expressed in one phrase, it would be a river of life that has been alive and never stopped. Through the first mission trip, he was a river of life that flowed through every corner across today's Turkey as a river of life. Whenever he flows, dead spirits were revitalized with drinking the life of Christ. After finishing the first mission trip, for the second mission trip, Paul flowed into the Europe continent, crossing the Aegean Sea. He didn't attempt to be stagnant, settling down in one place in Europe. He couldn't be stagnant in one place. With the life of Jesus Christ, he was a life that moves. He was alive and kept flowing downwards from Philippi through Thessalonica, Berea, and Athens to the city of corruption, Corinth. As I covered last 2 weeks, preaching the gospel of life in a corrupt city of Corinth alone was very hard for Paul in a spiritual way. Moreover, in the synagogue where Paul preached on every Sabbath day, there were the Jews and Gentiles mixed together. But the Jews, who called themselves as the chosen people of God, were more hostile than the Gentiles who didn't know God. At the point, Paul's faithful fellow workers, Silas and Timothy, with whom Paul parted in Athens, came from Macedonia and joined him. At the same time, Paul's spirit got stronger and renewed, and he devoted himself more exclusively to preaching, testifying to the hostile Jews that only Jesus of the cross is the Christ. Then the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive. The Greek word antitasomai, translated to oppose, means an activity to line up to prepare for a war. And the blasphemio does not just mean to slander, defame, or curse. It rather includes a meaning of an organized resistance or conflict. With meeting Silas and Timothy, when Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, more clearly testifying that only Jesus is the Christ, the Jews, who have been hostile to Paul, became more organized to bully Paul. Paul's response at the time was shown in today's text, verse 6. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Paul shook out his clothes in front of the Jews, who were more hostile and organized to harass Paul. When passing a strange town, the Jews shook the dust off their clothes and feet before leaving for their own town. That was a kind of sacred farewell ritual, not to let the filthy dust get into their land. Paul, however, did not do such behavior to follow the Jewish ritual. Per the Luke 9:5, "If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them." By saying so, he did not want us to look back. Based on such word of Jesus, Paul shook the dust off his clothes before the Jews who were organized to oppose and abusive to him. It was an official announcement that he will not look back on them. Then Paul said, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility," which meant, even if you refuse the gospel of life for you and you are to be put to be judged, it is your choice and responsibility, not mine. Is it not so? If a river flowed to an isolated, barren field, but the people there did not drink it and died of thirst, the river should not be held responsible. It's people's responsibility. And Paul ended his word by, "From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." But this does not mean that he will not be associated with the Jews again, but he will focus more on the Gentiles who are favorable to the gospel. In other words, he will flow around the obstacle, not trying to stop or passing through the obstacle. And the result of detouring the obstacle is revealed in today's text, verse 7. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. When Paul was opposed and shook the dust off his clothes, he went next door to the house of Titius Justus. Apostle Paul would not have entered that house without any reason. He went to that house because the house owner, Titius Justus, let Paul get into. Titius Justus is a Roman name. So Titius Justus was a Gentile Roman. However, the scripture points to the Gentiles as a worshiper of God. He was a Gentile, but converted himself into a Jewish and went to a Jewish synagogue and worshiped God. One day, Paul showed up in the synagogue and started preaching the gospel. With Paul's same preaching, the Jews, who call themselves as a chosen God's people, were organized to bully and oppose Paul. While a Gentile, Titius Justus took him in to his house. How different they are. True faith does not define by seniority, job, position, or ownership of faith. True faith is revealed only with the right response of life toward the gospel of life. Paul did not go to the house of Titius Justus to quench his thirst for a moment or take a rest. Rather, it says that Paul started using the house of Titius Justus as a center for the gospel. Since then, instead of the Jewish synagogue. The history of life does not end there. In the verse 8, Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. According to the Jewish law, a place where there are more than 10 Jewish males can have a synagogue established, which means there could be multiple synagogues where there are a lot of Jewish men. In Corinth, there were many Jewish residents, and naturally, there were multiple synagogues. Although Paul was opposed and abused by the Jews of synagogue in Corinth at first, the ruler of another synagogue, Crispus, became a Christian with his household as Paul preached the gospel in the house of Titus Justus. That Crispus was the synagogue ruler meant he was a Jewish. The ruler should take the responsibility for his synagogue, and there were subtle competition and pressure among the rulers. So it was not easy for a synagogue ruler to come to another synagogue to listen to God's words. If Paul stayed at the synagogue he had preached without being appalled, Crispus, the ruler of another synagogue, would have not received the gospel for good. However, because Paul preached at the house of Titus Justus, Crispus could freely come to listen to the sermon of Paul and received God with his entire household. That wasn't all. A number of Corinthians listened to Paul's preaching, believed in the Lord, and were baptized. All those people were Gentiles. In Greek version, the verb believe and be baptized are in imperfective. This means that it was not just one-time thing that the Gentiles believed in God and were baptized. But it went on. Given the Corinth was the most sexually corrupt city in the Roman Empire, it was such an amazing work of life. That work of life was only possible because Paul flowed as a river of life in Jesus Christ. From Antioch, Syria, through Turkey to Corinth of Europe, Paul flowed downward in the guidance of the Lord. And to suppress the Jews who were organized to oppose and bully him, Paul did not fight with him with the same tactic the Jews used. Even if Paul had the same strategy to have a bloody fight with him and won, it shouldn't be a glorious victory to God. Rather, it would have been a miserable defeat because anyone among the Corinthians watching the fight would have not believed what Paul would preach. Because Paul was a river of life, he detoured at the obstacle in front of him. As a result, the house of Titus Justus, next to a synagogue, became the first church in Corinth. Crispus, a ruler of another synagogue, and his entire household came to be Christians, and numerous Gentiles in Corinth came to believe in the Lord and were baptized. This did not happen in Corinth only. In Thessalonica and in Berea, Paul detoured when meeting Jews who opposed him and was able to flow to Corinth. Turkey in the first mission trip was not an exception. Paul visited Antioch, Pisidia, and spread the gospel in a synagogue there. As many people came to listen to his sermon, leaders of the synagogue were jealous of and opposed him to stop preaching. But Paul did not fight back and detoured at the synagogue toward Pisidian Antioch. Thanks to that, a lot of Gentiles in the city received God. And then the Jews, hesitated women of high standing and the leading men of the city to take Paul out of the city. Paul flowed, detouring Pisidian Antioch to Iconium, and definitely many were saved. The Jewish people in Iconium, however, opposed him as well. And he went to Lystra, detouring Iconium again. Consequently, a half-paralyzed man became saved, and Timothy, who later became faithful fellow worker of Paul, also received the Lord. The flow of the river itself is a mystery of life. Every corner where a river detours has a village, and its people drink the water of the river to live. For the same reason that Paul became a river to run in Jesus Christ, was a miracle of life. Whenever he detours facing an obstacle, there were always unimaginable work of life took place. But that was not because Paul was great, but Jesus, whom Paul took as the owner of his life, was the river of life. If Jesus was not the river of life, the Holy God would not have flowed down to this land in a lowly human body. If Jesus was not the river of life, he wouldn't have shed his blood for filthy sinners. If Jesus Christ was not the river of life, the life of him would have not flowed even to me living here with dead spirit. Only because his eternal and true river of life. If we leave taking him as the Lord of our life, no matter how worthless we are, we could live as a river of life, like Paul as a branch of the river. This is a poem titled River by Do Zhonghuan. We choose and run toward the lowest place, embracing the dirtiest things we run. Will you say we are humble? Will you say we are filthy? You who secretly wash your hands on a shore we pass through, we flow always toward a place lower than you are. When we are falsely accused and opposed for doing a good thing, let us not be depressed or discouraged. Let us not try to dominate others using the same unrighteous method. To win over others using an unrighteous method is only a fatal defeat which cannot be recovered before God. If we are falsely accused, it is a signal of God to detour. Let us have the Lord, the eternal and true river of life, as the owner of our life, and flow as a river of life, a branch of God. Following the guidance of the Lord, let us flow downwards. When facing an obstacle, let us detour without hesitation. Even if we are poor, who could laugh at us when we flow as a river of life? We have the life which cannot be tradable even with the whole world. Even if we get dirty for a moment while flowing and washing the dirt, who would criticize us for being dirty? God will purify us with his life when we flow as a river of life in the Lord, that we can flow every day as a river of life in Jesus Christ. It is a miracle of life. As long as we flow as a river of life, in every corner we run, there will be a work of life that revives other souls. As long as we flow as a branch of Jesus Christ, the eternal and true river of life, we are all able to become the Paul of today in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, you are the Holy One, came to be in lowly human body and flowed downwards to this land as the river of life, and shed the precious blood on the cross at the Golgotha to pay for our sins. We thank you for allowing us to be a branch of God. Now let us flow as a river of life in the Lord. When facing an obstacle, let us detour and run into lower places. In every corner we flow, let the spirit of people would be washed clean and revitalized. Help us not forget our life itself is the miracle and mystery of the Lord. Allow us not be foolish to rot our own life, fallen in the puddle of self-desires. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.